And I think as we kind of conclude our reflections on coaching, I just invite all of you to think about what can we learn from the realm of coaching in our culture that might be able to be transposed into other areas. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Native Soil. This is episode 31, and we're rounding off our series on coaches. Really been blessed to sit down with Father Pat Ahrensberg to hear a little bit about his involvement with coaching and his family's involvement over at McGill. We talked to Anthony Steele about his kind of Disney World kind of experience at Heart of Mary and Disney movie, I should say. But then that how the Lord used that to take him to LaFleur, and then talking with Simon Quarterpassy about growing up in Mobile Catholic and find his way to St. Michael's to be part of their first football program and everything. And in all of their testimonies, I just really was impressed by the role that coaches play in our lives, the way that they encourage us, the way in which they help us to believe in ourselves. I like Mr. Steele was talking about telling kids the truth. You know, we all need people to shoot it to us straight growing up and say what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, to give us that ability to care about something. I remember Father Pat Ahrensberg talking about sports and some of his coaches showed him to care for the first time. I remember him talking about the coach that he had kind of early in grade school, the younger guy that came in that really expected more out of them. So all these different roles that coaches play that are very important, I think, in building up the kingdom of God here on our native soil. But one of the things in particular I wanted to hone in on is I'm amazed in the realm of sports and in the realm of coaching, in our world that is increasingly secular, in which God is not permissible, in which prayer is taboo, somehow coaches in sports still get away with it. That was an amazing part of Anthony Steele's story of every game at LaFleur, a public school, coming together with the other teams at center court and praying the Our Father, praying together. It's like transcending what's really acceptable. But there's a deeper need that we intuit that we need God in our lives. We need God before this critical moment of a game or after a game or at halftime. Like, we need God in all things. And I think that's fascinating to me, just in the realm of sports, in the realm of coaching, why is it in that sphere we allow God, we almost necessitate that God is there for us to be able to enter into it and engage at its highest level? I would be shocked if at any college football program, I would be shocked if more than 5 or 10% of colleges don't have a full-time chaplain. Or don't have some kind of priest or minister who is there encouraging people, not just to be good football players, but to be good men. I was going to say men and women. But in all sports, you know, there's a lot of times there can be a chaplain. But I'm thinking any college football team I know of, there's some component of faith that's incorporated into it. I recently married a couple from Spanish Fort. I'm going to give shout outs to Grant Horst and Mackenzie Druin. I married them recently, and they grew up in Spanish Fort, and Grant played football at Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns. He was on the offensive line. And in the process of getting to know him, he was just telling me some stories about playing football over there. And he said, you know, his offensive line coach was Cajun. He was a raging Cajun, you know, from South Louisiana, very Catholic. And he said he was really a devout guy, go to mass every day. And he said all the time, once he found out that Grant was Catholic, he'd always be on him and say, Horst, you been to mass this Sunday? He'd be like, hey, yeah, I've been coach, you know. And, you know, if he hadn't gone, he goes, well, you know, there's a 7 p.m. mass on campus. You're going to go to that one, right? And be like, yeah, coach, I'm going to go. And he said, before games, he would bring a priest and give all the Catholic football players a chance to go to mass. And many times he said, you know, as this guy coached him up as a lineman, he was also coaching him up to be a godly man. And that's an amazing role to have in somebody's life, and an amazing, it's just amazing to me that in this day and age that we afford that space in the realm of sports and the realm of coaching. We kind of know, like, in order for someone to coach somebody up to be a good player, to compete at the highest level, because to do that, you have to be as developed, as focused, as excellent as you can be. I think we almost intuit, no, you're not going to be able to do that without God. You're not going to be able to be your best self without God. I know of another priest, Father Gerald Holloway. He's a priest of the Diocese of Birmingham. He was the pastor at St. Francis in Tuscaloosa for a while. But for years, Coach Saban, Nick Saban, is Catholic. And for as pretty much as long as Nick Saban has been the coach of Alabama, Father Holloway has been a chaplain for the team. He's there at almost every game. He's offering mass. He's encouraging players. He's praying for them. Why is it, do you need a priest for this football team to compete at its highest level? But there he has been. And it's amazing to me that somehow in this realm of sports, in this realm of coaching, we give permission for God, for discipleship, for spiritual encouragement and building up to be there in a way in which I think we really need to think about, and the rest of our society, how can that be incorporated? You know, whether it's band, whether it's drama, whether it's theater, whether it's business. In order for us to compete at the highest level, what's the role that God wants to play and needs to play? You know, when we play a sport, there's so much practice, there's so much training, there's so much sweat, there's so much drills that go into this moment. But at a certain point, I think coaches and players have a sense, once the game starts, you're stepping out into the unknown. There's only so much control you have. As much as you prepare, there's only so much control you have over what happens from there. And there's going to be a start to it, and there's going to be an end to it. And people might get hurt. People might not play well. They might play great. But you're stepping out kind of into this adventure of the unknown. And when we do that, there's something deep within us that says we need to put things in God's hands. That's a basic thing the faith tells us. It's like, we are not in control. There's only God is in control. But there's something about sports, I think it brings up a basic realization for life is, you know, there's a beginning to it. There's an end to it. But in between, there's so many things that are outside of our control as well. The beginning, you know, none of us are in control of our birth. None of us are in control of our death. But sometimes between those two bookends, we can mislead ourselves into thinking that we are in control, and we can strain so hard to be in control. But there's something about sports, there's something about coaching that kind of grounds us and says, okay, we need God in the mix of this. Like, we're going into battle, we're putting ourselves out there, we need God. I also think this whole idea of coaching is a great way to kind of look at the moral life. A lot of time, particularly us as Catholics, people can get so caught up in the rules. It's like, oh, Catholicism, you have so many rules. There's so many do's and don'ts. But it's not about just following rules. It's not about just not causing penalties. If you think about in any kind of sport, there are certain rules. There are certain penalties to a game. But when you're out there competing, you're not thinking in your head like, just don't commit penalties. Don't commit penalties. You're playing as hard as you can so as to win. And so too, the teachings of the church, the moral life of the church, it gives you the boundaries, it gives you the penalties so that you can be free to compete at the highest level, and also it protects everybody's safety in the process. And so a lot of rules and penalties in sports, it's for your safety and other people's safety. Same thing in our faith, the rules, the boundaries, the guidelines that Christ himself gives us through the church. It's not to restrain us. It's not to clip our wings, but it's so we can compete at the highest level. Compete at the highest level and also maintain our safety and the safety of others. And so I think that's another reason why coaching can resonate so much with us. And we really could look at it as a template for how do we educate people in the faith? How do we mentor young men and women to become true men and women for Christ by teaching them not just to not commit penalties, but to teach them to compete in life at the highest level. That's what a saint is. A saint is a human being that is competing in life in the highest level. He has surrendered himself to the rules and regulations that God has ordained for this game to work out right. And he's competing at the highest level for the glory of God. One image I really like, I saw this presentation, you might remember from my own story to priesthood and from Mike O'Neill, there's a place called the JH Ranch. And that's where I found my call to the priesthood. But one of the things, the guy who founded it, Bruce Johnson, he came up with this thing he calls the journey of transition. And he talks about it's kind of a model to understand parenting. And he says, what goes wrong a lot of times in parenting is when you're first a parent, you start as a cop. And rightly so, you have to kind of watch little kids and say, okay, don't touch that. Don't do this, don't do that, for their own safety, just for basic things. He said, but a more mature stage of parenting comes when you move into, you transition from just being a cop into being more of a coach. And he uses that analogy because at a certain point as a parent, you have to start not just saying, don't do this, but you have to say, here are the expectations. Here's the responsibilities that you have to take care of. And here are the freedoms that I will allow you for achieving these responsibilities. And he does a really great job, I think, of using coaching as a paradigm for parenting. And so just as a coach, you know, there's some motivation involved, you know, with players say, look, here's how I expect you to train. If you train these things, then you can get this kind of responsibility on the team. And if you have this kind of responsibility on the team, then I'll give you these kind of freedoms. And that's there's a dynamic back and forth in which trust is being developed and in which growth is happening. And so he has that journey of transition saying a lot of times what can go wrong in parenting is as your kid gets older and matures and is ready for freedoms, you know, they want to be able to go out or they want to have an allowance or they want to do this. Young people have to be coached into, okay, how are you going to earn those freedoms? And what responsibilities are you going to commit to such that those freedoms also make sense to kind of keep the balance in check of the balance we need in life? So that was one thing that came to mind as I heard these different interviews. We think about the role of coaching. This is really part and parcel for us to think about of how do we encourage people around us, whether it's our children, whether it's people we work with, whether it's people in our neighborhood. How is it can we, at times, do we need to employ the strategies of a good coach? I know one thing I've really appreciated when I a couple of times when I've gone to a Montgomery Catholic football game, at the end, you know, at the end of the game, they always come around and just like every other team, you know, the coach speaks to them and they close with a prayer. And one thing that I've heard Coach Aubrey, who's the head coach there now, say many times, and I've heard other coaches say this, but he says, you know, as we're playing this game, y'all always remember, we are trying to build you up to not just be good football players, but to one day be good husbands, to be good fathers, to be good men in the church. And I'm secretly praying in my mind, and a couple of you will become priests. But he always says that. He always gives them the bigger picture of like, I'm coaching you guys up. I'm staying on you guys. I care about what you do in the classroom. I care about if you get in trouble, not just so you can be good football players, but so you can be good men, good fathers, good husbands, good Christians. And what a beautiful expectation to have. And I think as we kind of conclude our reflections on coaching, I just invite all of you to think about what can we learn from the realm of coaching in our culture that might be able to be transposed into other areas. Like I said, what other realm can you think of that expects that much out of young people? What other realm can you think about that allows for God to be so central in people's lives and to be so mixed in to the recipe of young people's excellence? I don't know that I can think of many other realms. And I think it's something we really need to think and pray about, of how can this be more and more filtered in to our native soil. So on that note, I put it all in the Blessed Mother's hands, ask that she helps us to figure all this out, and ask special blessings upon all the coaches out there. May you be powerful instruments of Christ in the lives of those that you coach. In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And through her powerful intercession, my many God, bless all of you listening. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless y'all, and look forward to seeing you right here on Native Soil.